B-Pod Studios.
We're doing Phillies today. I'm really interested in talking about them today. We'll obviously talk a little bit Sixers as well. Everybody sit tight. We're going to open up the phone lines in just a moment. But joining us from NBC Philly, covers the Phillies, does a wonderful job. Corey Seidman is on the Comcast Business Hotline. Corey, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Anthony. It's been a wild couple days of rumors, hasn't it?
It is. And you know what? It's the reason why I asked you to come on, it's driving me nuts, man. I need closure. I need Harper, but we also, like everyone else, you need closure to this story. What are you reading through all the tea leaves again?
Well, you know, yesterday there were a couple national reporters who had the information about Harper. It wasn't really any new information. It was almost just like repackaged info that was disguised as, I don't know, reports. But, you know, for guys like Heyman and Nightingale to mention the $300 million range, that's nothing new. To mention that the Phillies are the favorite, that's nothing new. You know, all offseason we've known that the Phillies have the most money out of these teams and the biggest desire to land one of the two superstars. I really didn't get a sense yesterday that anything was about to go down or anything was imminent. And I also think that some of this is just agents playing games.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper's agent, Scott Boras, is much more prone to kind of playing the game within a game with leaks and through the media than Manny Machado's agent, Dan Lozano, is. And I think that's a major reason why things have been pretty quiet over the last few weeks with Manny Machado, and at least publicly. And, you know, it's pretty, what I have found fascinating throughout this process is how much more Phillies fans are interested in Harper than they are in Machado. You know, I was looking at, actually earlier this morning, at like the Google trends of people searching Bryce Harper in this area compared to people searching Manny Machado, and it's like 20 times more Harper than Machado. So that kind of just goes along with everything else I'm seeing in comments, emails, and through social media, that this fan base is all about Bryce Harper and would seem to be, I don't know, a little bit disappointed if they don't get him.
Yes, I think you're right. I think this town, you know this town, Corey, this town got turned off by Machado from the comments he made about busting it. And I think that kind of turned everybody off of him a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder what the level of interest would be from this fan base if Machado never made those comments. I also think that something to do with it is the fact that this fan base has watched Bryce Harper for nearly a decade.
You know,
with the Nationals, they've seen him up close. They've seen him do so much damage against the Phillies. And really, quite frankly, if you look at the last four seasons of their production offensively, Harper's OPS over that time is 96 points higher than Manny Machado's. He's just,
damn.
You know, to me, he is far and away the better offensive player. Now, Machado might have more value overall because he's a better base runner, he can give you more defensively, and he plays a more premium defensive position. But all along, I've said that if I was the GM, that Harper would be the guy that I would have my sights set on, because over the next 8 to 10 years, I just think that he's going to be the much more significant offensive piece.
I agree with you. Corey Seidman with us, NBC Phillies, terrific, NBC Philly, a terrific Phillies reporter. I'm with you, and I look at, also in this ballpark, I think Harper's power, he's going to reach that age, 26, gets naturally stronger. I think he hits a bunch of bombs in this ballpark.
Yeah, I think that Harper here would be, you know, 40-plus guy. Not that he would do that every year if he comes here, but still, you know, Citizens Bank Park is a better hitter's park than Nationals Park. I would say that Nationals Park during the summer, especially when it's hot out, it can play small, and Harper hits a ton of home runs to dead center field and to left center and to right center. He's, you know, it seems like he's more of those than strictly pulling the ball. So in that way, when you think of left center field where it's deep in Citizens Bank Park and there's that, you know, that strange wall in left center, maybe that could result in some doubles instead of homers. But now there's no doubt that here he would be just, you know, an offensive centerpiece. And thinking about what this lineup could look like with Harper in a two-hole, because I think that's where Gabe Kapler would bat either Harper or Machado. You know, with the addition of Real Muto, with the additions of McCutchen and Segura, if you get Harper after all of that, to me, that's the deepest lineup in the National League.
Just totally.
You know, the fact that you were able to turn a bottom-of-the-order catcher into a top-of-the-order catcher when teams just do not have that across baseball, that was pretty significant.
So who's there? It's funny because you think Harper hits second, not third. Who's their leadoff hitter?
Well, Gabe Kapler said the other day that he still wants to give Cesar Hernandez kind of the inside track to that leadoff spot. And, you know, from that, what I gathered was, you know, Cesar over the years has been a high on base percentage guy. even last year when he broke the bone in his foot and was kind of half the player that he was in seasons past, he still maintained a high OBP. Plus, someone like Segura, someone like McCutcheon, who would be the other options to lead off, those guys can fit in the five hole or the three hole, whereas Cesar Hernandez can't really do that. So I think that also would play a role in who leads off. But I could see it going something like Cesar, then Harper or Machado if they get here, followed by Segura or McCutcheon, and then Rhys Hoskins, and then, you know, either Segura or McCutcheon batting fifth. But it just, it gives you so many options. JT Realmuto, another guy who I expect to hit another.
I thought he would hit him second.
As of right now, where you don't have the superstar here yet, I would think that Realmuto would be, either two or three.
Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you want to stack JT, Harper, and Rhys?
Yeah, you know, I think that that would make sense in terms of going righty, lefty, righty to help combat late game relievers. However, the thing to keep in mind is that JT Realmuto, throughout the course of his career, has hit righties so much better than he's hit lefties. It's like 40 points higher against righties than against lefties. He almost has reverse platoon splits. And the reason for that is because he's so able to handle right-handed breaking balls, curveballs, sliders. He has a very high line drive rate and one of the best batting averages in all of baseball against right-handed breaking balls. So Realmuto is almost kind of like platoon-proof in that way, that you don't really have to think about the lefty component as much.
Yeah, I agree. I just want those I just would love to stack those guys. I'm not the biggest Cesar guy. I think he strikes out too much, and I'm not in love with him. I could see Gabe sometimes batting him ninth.
He could be that American League style nine-hole hitter where you have the high OBP guy to turn over the lineup. I agree that for a guy with Cesar's skill set, he does strike out too much. You know, 150-plus strikeouts, that just is not going to cut it from a guy who it just doesn't have the power to go along with it. That's a bit of an issue. Although, again, I do think that the strikeout total last season was inflated by the fact that he had the pain in his foot every time he landed.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Corey Seibin with us. NBC Philly. Terrific baseball man. Corey, let me ask you about the bullpen, because I'm excited about the bullpen. Robertson was a great signing that's kind of gone under the radar. So do you see Seranthi as the closer? Who do you see as the closer? You see Robertson as the wild card guy? How do you see this thing shaking out?
I think it's going to be mix and match, that when the opposing team has right-handed hitters coming up, I think that Gabe will go to Seranthi pretty much with regularity in the ninth inning if Seranthi hasn't been used previously. When there are powerful left-handed bats coming up in the ninth, we'll go to David Robertson, because Robertson's arsenal really plays well against lefties. Again, kind of along the theme of Realmuto being having reverse platoon splits, so does David Robertson. He's better against lefties than he is against righties, and that was a major reason that the Phillies signed him to that deal. Then there are some other guys who you could see get some save opportunities as well, guys like Hector Neris. Maybe you'll see a ninth inning where Pat Neshek comes in for one or two batters, even though the ninth inning hasn't historically been his inning. I think that Gabe Kapler is just one of these new school managers who doesn't really want to define a closer unless he needs to. That being said,
I hate it. I'm sorry. I think bullpen guys need roles. I think it's important for those guys to have their set roles. You've been around them. You know what kind of creatures they are. They're creatures of habit.
For sure, and historically that's been the way it is. However, I would say that like the young relievers that are coming through the system now, a guy like Seranthi Domínguez, who really has never been a defined closer, I don't think it matters as much to a guy like that because he's never been set his ways in that role. And someone like David Robertson, who spent his entire career shifting between the eighth inning and the ninth inning, even appearing sometimes in the seventh inning, I don't think it matters as much for him either. And I think that
that's
also
a good point.
And I think that was also a reason the Phillies wanted to bring him in, because of the versatility that he gives you in different innings. I'm with you. You know, I'm used to, watching baseball my entire life, having the one guy who comes in the ninth inning, locks it down, has the closer's mentality, and baseball's just going away from that. Some guys need it, some guys don't. If this team had Craig Kimbrell, for example, I think that he would be the ninth inning guy. I don't think you'd see Gabe Kapler move him around in different places. But short of that, I think he's going to continue to do what he did in 2018.
That's a good point. Corey, listen, a lot of fun, man. Really enjoyed the conversation, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, cuz. Let's do it again.
Definitely. Corey Seibin, NBC Philly with us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.